Makeshift Stories presents Somewhere, Sometime, an irregular series of short sci-fi and fantasy stories.
Apophenia is the tendency to find meaning in random patterns. The human mind is a connection-making machine, always searching to make sense of the world around us. But sometimes, it connects the dots where there's nothing to connect, creating a false story which we believe to be the truth. In this month's episode, Lan, a would-be writer about to hit the big time with his first novel, thumbs his nose at a large software company in an online post. The post unexpectedly goes viral, and soon after, things start to go wrong, and Lan finds that he is about to lose his one and only chance at fame and fortune. We invite you now to sit back and relax as you listen to Makeshift Stories 98, Lost Chance. Somewhere and sometime, the bad things happening around you might just be a coincidence. Finally freed from the boring, overbearing Millennium Enterprise software salesman and his wife on their second honeymoon, Lan sat sweating in his dinner jacket. The room's air conditioning appeared to have failed almost as soon as the dinner had started. Amused, rather than annoyed, Lan used his cell to snap a picture of one of the large projection screens, a loop of a garishly colored animated garland with the words Happy New Year splayed across it had been partly obscured by a computer error window with a large Millennium stylized windmill logo in one corner. It was the eighth time since he had sat down that it had happened. Now, the underpaid staff at the all-inclusive, perhaps frustrated, had chosen to ignore it. Lan hoped the software salesman had seen the irony in the situation. He and his wife had left a few minutes before. Lan checked the focus on the image, then posted the picture to his eLife account, adding the caption, "Best of the season, from Millennium Software, and me." He laughed at his joke. It was smart and cheeky. It was something his friends would get and repost. It was a clever end to a great day, he reflected, a sign of just how his wit and writing skills would change his life over the years to come. Lan had just received word from the publisher's internal reviewer that, in their opinion, his first book would be a bestseller, the best novel ever, a cultural game-changer, she had said. Now, all that remained was to get the final draft, which, due to Lan's paranoia, was the only copy in existence, to the publisher as soon as the holiday was over. January 2nd would be the beginning of his new life. In celebration of its imminent success, Lan had maxed out his credit cards and taken the vacation of a lifetime to finish his final draft in a Caribbean five-star paradise. He logged out of eLife, thought briefly about backing up his manuscript to a cloud storage account, rejected the idea because of the well-documented insecure nature of all hotel Wi-Fi systems, then headed off to the pool bar to celebrate the beginning of a new year, and more importantly, his rise from obscurity to fame. Yet to be published, and there were already rumors of several movie offers, he marveled. Then made a promise to himself not to let this change in circumstances go to his head. Okay, he decided, he would let it go to his head a bit. Maybe he'd find a nice place out of the snow belt. Maybe a small tropical island. Something modest. Lan's fantasy was burst by a man shouting at him.
Hey, Lan! We're over here!
At first he pretended not to notice. It was the salesman, Jack, again. He seemed way too happy to see him. Lan surveyed the bar stools, careful to avoid Jack's wildly flailing hands. Apparently, the entire party had emptied out into the pool area after the entertainment system in the dining room had crashed once and for all. There was only one empty seat, and it was between Jack and his wife. Lan finally gave up, feigned surprise, and headed towards them.
Hey, amigo! It's great to see you. The party followed us out here, as it always does.
Jack made an exaggerated wink, then patted the empty stool. Lan reluctantly accepted and took the seat between them. They were a study in opposites. Lan, almost too thin, pasty white skin that had rarely seen the light of day, made even whiter under a thick layer of UV-80 sunscreen, swam in his clothes. On the other side, the Saunders. At least that's what Jack had claimed their name was, but Lan had his doubts.
Hey, what happens on holidays stays on holiday, huh?
Jack had claimed, and the Saunders, While they seemed to be parting in ways that one generally didn't want showing up in an online search or on eLife. Over dark artificial tans, both sported cancerous red sunburnt flesh, which was trying to escape their spandex-tight clothes in unflattering ways. Sue Saunders' perfume saturated the air around them, causing Lan to sneeze.
Hey, you okay, buddy?
Jack slapped Lan on his back.
Eleandro, my man! My friend here, Lan, he needs a drink, something strong to chase away that nasty cough.
Of course they would have made friends already with the bartender, Lan told himself. Sue spun around to face the bar, causing another wayward cloud of perfume to tickle his nose. He sneezed twice, then tried to hold back a third, which caused him to gag. Eleandro, the bartender, pushed a plastic glass filled with a syrupy amber liquid across the sticky bar to him. Lan eyed it suspiciously, experimentally tasting the drink, choked, then set the glass down. Jack watched him with amusement.
Hey, that's good stuff, right? Cleans out the sinuses and it'll give you some color. You're looking pretty pale there, Lan. Like I was saying at dinner, I sell custom point-of-sale systems. We're a Millennium partner.
He proudly pointed to his t-shirt with a big MS Windmill logo centered on his chest.
These are rare.
He boasted.
Only the top enterprise partners get them. Anyway, we make a customization of their cash box system. It's a great product. The best, in fact.
Lan was going to rib Jack about the air window that kept flashing across the large projection screens at dinner, but thought better of it and kept quiet.
Oh, Jack, I've heard your story 1,000 times before.
Sue complained.
Highest sales 3 years running. Has the personal phone number of the Millennium CEO. And you're on a first-name basis, blah, blah, blah. I want to hear more about our new friend here, Lanny.
It's Lan, Lan corrected. And there's not much to tell.
Oh, don't be so modest, Lan. Everyone has a story,
Jack encouraged. They both looked expectantly at him. Suddenly feeling trapped, Lan took a careful sip of his drink, letting the alcohol burn down his throat.
Like I said, there's not a lot to say. I'm a manager at a convenience store, I play video games in my spare time, and I write speculative fiction stories, although I've never been published.
Yet, he added. Lan wasn't sure why he had mentioned his writing. After all, he wasn't allowed to tell anyone about his book until it was released, and even then it would come out under a pen name. The plan was to promote the book by creating speculation around who the author really was. Then, at its peak, doing a reveal on a major talk show. Jack interrupted his thoughts.
Well, you're probably using one of our point-of-sale systems, then. I've managed to get them into almost every major chain across the continent.
Jack!
Sue complained.
I want to hear about our friend Lanny, not you. What type of stories did you say you write again?
Speculative fiction.
Oh! Like science fiction, spaceships, time travel, robots, that sort of thing, right?
Sue smiled, exposing a set of perfect, supernaturally white teeth. Lan instinctively squinted, trying to reduce the glare as the disco ball suspended over the pool momentarily reflected off her pearly whites. It was obvious that Sue had no interest in his writing at all, but Lan played along anyway.
The genre's a lot broader than that, Sue. I like to think of it as asking what if, and pursuing where that goes.
Before Lan could finish his thought, his cell phone chimed. Expecting that it was something from the publisher, he unlocked his phone, tapped the message open, then puzzled over it.
Not what you were expecting, Lan?
Jack suggested smugly, as if he knew something. The man gave Lan the creeps.
I suppose we should let you read that. It's been great talking to you, buddy. Time to get the celebration going. Sue and I are going to burn up the dance floor for a bit. See you around. Oh, and if you need anything, I'm always willing to help.
Lan was disgusted. Salespeople. Just didn't know when to stop. And as they left arm in arm, hips swinging to the beat, he stared at the message, trying to make sense of it. The words, Happy New Year to you, followed by a winking smiley, was all it contained. Puzzled, Lan looked up. The Saunders had already melted into the crowd. They were dancing, he reminded himself, but couldn't spot them in the quickly growing mass of gyrating bodies crowding onto the pool deck. Tired and a bit anxious about the cryptic message, Lan left for his room. When he arrived back at the hotel room, Lan could hear the ocean colliding with the beach through the closed balcony doors. An onshore breeze had churned up the ocean until it slammed into the sand, grinding everything it carried into fine, indistinguishable granules. At this point in history, a high percentage of those must be plastic, Lan rationalized as he punched in the room safe's code and removed his laptop carefully. Plastic infiltrating the environment, it was a good idea. He filed it away for a future story. Lan carried his laptop over to the balcony door and opened it. The sound of the pounding surf rolled in, drowning out the remnant thumping of the New Year's party back at the pool. With the white noise of the waves temporarily erasing the world, Lan decided to read his final draft one more time before he sent it to the publisher. As he eased back into a stylish but uncomfortable chair, his cell phone pinged. Curious, he reached into his pocket, pulled out the phone, and checked its notification screen. There was a direct message from someone on eLife which read, "Because you appreciate us so much." It was signed with a winking emoticon and a shortened URL.
"Jack?"
he speculated. But he didn't remember telling Jack that he was on eLife. Lan opened the link in the message, which took him to a What's Trending on eLife webpage. His comment and the photo of the error message blocking out the New Year's greeting was top of the list. It had millions of mentions and reposts. Beside the trending list was a graph of Millennium's public sentiment score, which at the moment was in free fall.
"Wow,"
he muttered, surprised. Maybe his publisher could leverage this somehow. The author, who knocked a few hundred million off the tech giant's market evaluation with one poignant post. Excited, Lan flipped open his laptop so he could see the full version of the eLife Trends webpage. The screen sprung to life, flashed, then went black. Crude white aliased letters suddenly appeared. "No bootable device found." Lan sat frozen, too panicked to move. He turned his laptop off, then on again, anxiously waiting for the Millennium logo to pulse on, indicating that the computer was starting up. Instead, the screen flashed again, went black, and displayed the same message.
"Okay, Lan. Relax. Try it again. It's just some weird anomaly,"
he reassured himself. As if in response, the balcony was momentarily lit by the flickering light of fireworks from the first salvo of the New Year's Eve celebration. It was exactly 12 a.m. As they faded into the darkness, Lan hit the power button again and crossed his fingers. The laptop hung for an impossibly long moment, then just before Lan completely panicked, it flickered and the familiar, multicolored, four-bladed logo of the Millennium Software Company began to unfold. Another round of fireworks distracted him, and when he looked back at his laptop, the logo had been replaced by the same acid white letters. They leapt off the screen and burnt their way indelibly into Lan's consciousness, taunting him. "No bootable device found. Error. HNY-HL-FR-MS. He thought about the error message, turning it into an acronym.
"Happy New Year, Hunter Lev, from Millennium Software. That's my pen name,"
he mumbled in surprise, then thought logically.
"That can't be. It's just a coincidence. It's an error code." "Yes. An error code,"
Lan realized, then frantically picked up his phone and typed, hoping to find a fix. He couldn't accept the first result, so he tried again. Nothing. Not even a remotely similar code showed up. He couldn't believe that no one had ever encountered the same issue. After all, there were hundreds of millions of people using the operating system, so it was statistically impossible. However, as unlikely as that was, it meant he had lost his only copy of his manuscript. His ticket to his new life, his ticket out of obscurity and the drudgery of an endless, meaningless job. He yelled at the pounding surf in frustration. A burst of fireworks drowned him out. blotting out the stars, turning the breakers rolling onto the beach into stroboscopic foaming chaos. And Lan felt his future wash away into the cruel darkness of an indifferent error screen. He cursed himself for refusing to back up his work, then remembered Jack. There was no need to panic. Jack would know what to do. Jack was connected. Jack knew people in the company who would be experts, people who would know how to recover his file and his future. Lan tried to slow his breathing, calm himself enough to think. The Saunders, they'd still be at the New Year's party dancing. They were the type of people who would close the place down, he reassured himself. Lan slipped on his sandals, grabbed his laptop, and ran back to the pool.
"Hey, Lan! Amigo! You're missing the party!"
Jack yelled over the throbbing music. Caribbean Holiday Pool Party Mix 3 is how Lan thought of it, a ubiquitous disco beat that mix-mastered its way through 30-year-old North American pop music. Lan waved and tried to smile.
"Great timing, Lan! Sue was just saying that she needs someone else to salsa through the next set with her. Apparently, I'm burning out. It's my spare tire that's slowing me down. Too many miles behind the steering wheel, and too many donut breaks, I guess."
Jack wiped sweat from his brow. Sue scowled at him accusingly, as if saying, "Liar."
"I don't have time to dance. I need to talk to you. I need to get your expert advice."
"Hey, Lan, I really want your business. But it's New Year's Eve. We're at a party at a 5-star in the Caribbean. Business can wait until tomorrow."
Lan stammered. Please?
"Okay, I can see that you're a bit desperate. Oh well, I can never turn someone away. That's why I'm one of the best."
Sue rolled her eyes in frustration.
"So let me guess, you went back to our room and looked up our solution online, and was so impressed that you want me to write up a contract for the store you manage. Hey, big or small, doesn't matter. We can have a deal in place in a few minutes."
"No, that's not what I need."
Jack looked deflated.
"I need some help with my computer, you being a Millennium partner and all."
"Oh, so naturally you assumed I could help,"
Jack admonished, then smiled.
"Hey, it's not the first time. But think of it this way, just because I drive a car, would you want me to fix yours?"
Lan stood, stared at him, his face mottled by the flashing disco lights, then in a huff began to turn away.
"Hey, don't go, amigo. Of course we'll try and help you, won't we, Sue?"
The three of them sat down at a quiet table, far enough from the speakers so they could hold a conversation. Jack waved a waiter over, then sensing the seriousness of the situation, decided coffee was the appropriate choice. Once the waiter left, he leaned in and asked,
"Hey, so what's going on, buddy? You're way too distraught for someone who can't log into their eLife account to post their holiday photos."
"My manuscript. It's on my hard drive. No doubt it's an unpublished masterpiece."
Sue added sarcastically, then seeing Lan's expression, retracted.
"Sorry." "How'd you know?"
Lan was almost crying.
"Hey, I was just joking. You said your hobby was writing, and I thought, well, wouldn't every wannabe writer have a..."
Lan cut her off as his face grew red.
"I'm more than a wannabe author. I have a contract with a major publisher. We were already negotiating the movie rights."
"That's very impressive, Lan,"
Jack said.
"I didn't see any mention of it on your eLife page. Not even anything about writing."
Lan looked confused.
"You friended us back at dinner, don't you remember?"
In fact, Lan couldn't recall doing that. Maybe he had had too much wine.
"It's something I don't talk about. Most people I know wouldn't understand, so I write under a pen name."
"Well, you're quite the funny guy online. Sue loved your post from dinner, but it struck a little close to home for me. Millennium is a bit sensitive about things like that. Personally, I wouldn't go there. But hey, it's too late for you, isn't it? Oh, don't look so forlorn, Lan. There's always a solution. After all, I sell solutions for a living. So now tell me, what's your problem?"
"My laptop won't boot up, see?"
Lan popped it open and pressed the power button.
"I just get a black screen with an error message. No bootable media found, and some weird error code."
"All error codes are weird, Lan. They're written for the support desk geeks. Hey, I'll look it up on my phone and we'll figure it out from there.
Jack turned his phone on and began to type.
You could do this yourself, Lan. People expect that I'm a computer expert, but I don't know more than the next guy. However, I do know about people, and that's something you can't find in an online search. And you, Lan, I could tell right away that there was more to you than being a simple store manager. What did you say your pen name was? Some variation of your real name, I suppose?
Jack's easygoing manner had disappeared.
I didn't,
Lan started to say, but realized he couldn't exactly remember what he had told Jack and Sue. Jack resumed typing, then examined the results of his search.
There's nothing here with that specific error code. But device not found usually means that the hard drive has been erased or severely damaged. Did you leave your laptop on the bar fridge or near the air conditioner, or on some other appliance? You know, it takes a strong magnetic field to damage a drive like that.
No, I kept it in the room safe. Nothing like that could have happened,
Lan protested.
So how do I fix it?
Well, there's nothing to fix, Jack shrugged. Your files are scrambled, gone, replaced by random magnetic patterns.
So what do I do? Lan persisted.
Nothing,
Jack stated coldly.
You'll have to use a copy. I'm sure your publisher can email you a duplicate if you don't have one you can access from here. Of course, you'll lose all the work you've done since the last backup. Hey, it happens more frequently than you might think. It's no big deal. Just back up more frequently next time.
Lan slunk into his chair, trying to become part of the plastic.
The only copy was on my hard drive,
he moaned.
I insisted on that. I was paranoid because I'm an unknown. I thought that someone might rip my book off if there is more than one copy in circulation. It was a brilliant book. The publisher told me that, said it was the best manuscript they had optioned in a generation. Well, you could always rewrite it,
Sue suggested.
It took me 10 years, and it would never be the same story. Okay, so it might be a bit different. Wouldn't be word for word, but...
Lan cut Sue off.
You don't understand. It's not that simple. For me, writing's like divining water. The story is already there. It just needs to connect with someone who can bring it to the surface, who can turn it into words. And you only get one chance to give it life. The next moment, the next day, it will have changed. It will be something different. Even if I could relive the last decade, I couldn't write the same story. That's just how it works.
Lan leaned forward and dropped his head onto the table.
I've lost my chance.
The three sat in awkward silence as the party washed around them, optimistically ushering in a new year of possibilities. Finally, Sue spoke.
Well, Lan, if it's gone, then you need to let it go. Wake up tomorrow, take a walk on the beach, see where the first day of the new year takes you. You wrote a great book once. You never know. There might even be a better story out there waiting for you to discover. Here, take my good luck charm. It's never failed me.
Lan thumped his head down on the table and buried his head in his arms. When he looked up again, the table was empty and the party over. Lan got up to leave, then noticed an odd medallion. Sue's good luck charm, he remembered. She had left it for him, but he had seen it someplace before. Lan laughed. He needed more than good luck. That couldn't send him back in time so he could make a backup of his story, or better yet, keep him from coming on this stupid trip. He was about to walk away and leave the thing when he realized why it was so familiar. It was the way he had imagined the charm his now lost book was centered around looked like. Something that had been coughed up by the ocean, too regular to be natural, at the same time too irregular to be manufactured. A coincidence, he decided, but pocketed Sue's gift anyway. Lan couldn't sleep. His mind buzzed in an endless loop of self-recrimination and self-pity. Just before the sunrise, he gave up and decided to take Sue's advice and go for a walk and think things through. He knew there must be ways to recover erased files. He vaguely remembered reading about it in some article. He would walk the beach, calm down, then use the hotel's business center to research recovery services. Even Jack admitted that working for Millennium didn't mean that he knew a lot about computers. Jack was just a salesman. His mood was already brighter as Lan headed out. The rising tide drove the breakers high onto the beach, their spray saturating the air, creating a low-lying mist, which the rising sun streamed through, making the morning feel like the opening scene of some fantasy flick. Lan imagined as he walked along that he was venturing into another time and place. 100 paces down the beach, the hotel, the pier, and every other sign of humanity had disappeared, leaving Lan isolated in the glowing fog, lost in the sound of the thundering surf. A rogue wave suddenly left him waist-deep in foaming flotsam, which almost sucked him off the beach as it raced back into the ocean, carrying rocks, sand, and other debris with it. His clothes clung to him, so as he tried to extract himself from the small craters that the angry water had excavated around his feet, something in one of his pockets dug into his thigh, making him wince. Lan pulled out the offending object and examined it.
"Sue's good luck charm," he exclaimed. "How did that get in my—"
Then he remembered picking it up the night before. Another wave knocked Lan off balance, making him lose his grip on the charm's water-slick surface. It tumbled into the receding wash and was swept away. Without thinking, Lan dived after it. Another rogue wave piled on top, and Lan found himself pushed, rolled, and spun until he didn't know which way was up. He tumbled back towards the restless ocean, sharp rocks sandpapering his skin. Lungs burning, Lan gasped for air, but only found turbid water. He began to struggle, to fight back to the surface, to fight back to life. He finally broke through the waves, lungs screaming, hacking, coughing, gasping, eyes stinging from the salt. And in the midst of the chaos, Lan's mind cleared. He became more focused than he had ever been in his life before. The beach, now receding as he was swept away, had been sharpened and changed. It had become the stage set for the last chapter of his book. The story had found him again. Joy surged through Lan as the entire story flooded back in detail, every image, every word and paragraph the same. He could remember it as if he had lived it, as if the story and he were one and the same. Jack finished reading, thumbed the last page of the e-book over, then put the reader down on the bar and reached for his drink.
"Jack, Jack,"
Sue waved.
"Hey, look at this."
Jack squinted to see. Sue held up something small and sort of round.
"It's my good luck charm, remember? I found it down on the beach past the pier. He must have dropped it. It's hard to believe that it could have lay there for an entire year. How's the book?"
Jack grinned.
"I think writing Lan into the last chapter pushed it over the top. It'll be a bestseller."
Thanks for listening to Makeshift Stories 98, Lost Chance. We hope that you've enjoyed this month's episode. As always, if you like what we're doing, please tell your friends about us, or write a review on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, or check us out in Google+ and Facebook. We love hearing your comments, so send us an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. And thanks to those from all over the planet who have already emailed us. We release a new story every month between the 15th and the 20th. To listen to Makeshift Stories on your iOS or Android device, please download Stitcher Radio from iTunes or the Google Play Store. This month's episode was written and read by Alan V. Hare. The opening and closing theme was composed and recorded by David H. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivative License, which means you're free to share our stories, just remember to credit us. And don't alter anything.